Hello, everyone. Good evening. First, I want to thank the servants of God's love, my dear sisters and friends, for allowing me to share with you tonight. I did write it out just so that I would say succinct and to the point. Some of you know I can be a little wordy. And also thank you for letting us sing that beautiful song. At the end of our time here in the sanctuary, we will sing the song number 63, Rejoice Always, Pray Constantly, Give Thanks in All Circumstances. And that is taken from 1 Thessalonians. And I just realized when I looked at that, that was written by a parishioner here, Dr. Ellen Grinevich, and her husband in 1976. She used to be my doctor till she retired. So, my name is Deanna White, and I have a husband, David, of 41 years. Oh, okay, thank you. Two daughters, three sons, one son-in-law, two daughter-in-laws, and 10 grandchildren. Sometimes I feel like when people talk about their families, they leave out the in-laws. And they're kind of important. Everybody wants to talk about those grandchildren, right? We have been members of Christ the King since we moved here 32 years ago. In April of 2012, I developed pneumonia two times in that month. 1 month later, at the time I was working as a paraeducator with special needs children in a grade school, I came home early from school with a fever of 103. Laid down, took a nap, and while sleeping, had a minor stroke. I then spent a week in the hospital. And in a follow-up with the doctor, found out I also had mononucleosis, and had actually had it 20 years before and didn't know about it. The side effects of the stroke were relatively minor, but somewhat debilitating and hard on the nervous system. I cried continually for 4 months. That's a long time to cry, 4 months. I couldn't go to Mass for months because of the constant crying. My dear husband and several of you brought me Holy Communion, which was a great blessing. So many of you also did very loving acts of kindness. Some were very evident of others to others, and others were such that only God and I know about them. The side effects of the mono were more severe, the diagnosis of the neurologist. Nausea, day and night, for 4 months. That's also a long time to be nauseous. They tried 10 different medications, and the only one that would give me temporary relief was the one that chemotherapy patients use to subdue their nausea. I lost my sense of taste, which has not returned, and I also lost my sense of smell. But thanks be to God, 10 smells have returned. Guess what? When you have almost constant nausea, or crying all the time, can't taste and smell, you don't eat much. And when you don't eat much, you lose weight. I lost 60 pounds, 6-0, 60 pounds, yeah. In the midst of my sufferings, I was given grace by God to cry out to Him. Whomever was close at the time, whoever was handy, which most of the time was my husband or my teenage son, or maybe whoever else was close by, I would just grab them and they would pray for me. My dear friend, Suzanne Taylor, who has been my lifetime friend and lives around the corner, she would come over at the drop of a hat and pray with me. We would just sit on the porch and pray. Many others of you did that too, as did my dear family members who came that summer to help me. My maternal grandma was 1 year older than me when she died from a stroke after a series of small strokes. I recognized that I was given the gift of life a second time. When I started feeling better, and having been in this constant state of prayer, just hanging on by my fingernails, I felt compelled to pray for others. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. My t-shirt shows this scripture. I made it myself when I was at Ypsilanti High School as a para-ed for a young woman with autism. And she was in graphic design class. Oh gosh, I had fun. And so, why do I pray constantly? My faith in Jesus, my hope that He's listening and will have mercy and answer, and my love for God and my fellow human beings who are suffering. My compassion for others has deepened as I myself have suffered. And I know many of you know that too. One of the beauties of God's word is that he speaks to each of us personally. And so I am sharing, though, how I have interpreted the scripture of praying constantly. I'm just going to give you, I'm kind of a storyteller. I'm from North Dakota. And what we can do there is tell jokes, tell stories, and talk, and cook. So here are a few examples of praying for others that have happened in these last couple years for me. I pray for my family and friends on the telephone. I just did that with someone today who shared the need with me, and I said, can we pray? And we just prayed on the phone. I have a friend at the post office who's had some difficult, and as I'm grabbing my package or giving my package and doing whatever, I just grab her hand quick, and we just say a quick prayer. I have a UPIC raspberry patch. This is my second year. And as I'm out there, when people come to pick, I go out and pick a few just so I can visit with people and get some for my family. And as you talk and people open up and we share, needs come up. Many, many times I've just stopped and said, could we pray? Could we pray? And so right there in the raspberry patch, we pray. I also have a flower business for weddings and special occasions. And have had this year one time, someone came out to get flowers and I said, oh, what have you been doing today? And she said, oh, I just come from so-and-so and playing with the little kids. And I said, oh, that's cool. And then she kind of shrugged her shoulders. And she's been married for a while now. And I said, are you hoping to have children? And she said, yes. And I said, would you like to pray? And she said, yes. So we, right there amidst the flowers, we prayed for a baby for their house. Last year at the University of Michigan in the stadium, our youngest son goes to Father Gabriel Richard High School, and they clean up the stadium after the home games. And after we clean up, we have mass up high there, and during mass, I just had this strong sense that some of the regular workers that were down on the stadium cleaning up, I had a very strong sense that the Lord was doing something in their heart while we were up there having mass. So afterwards, we have coffee and donuts. And I saw Father Lobert, who's the chaplain of Father Gabriel Richard, and I just mentioned it to him. And he just paused, and I said, can we pray? And he said, yes. And oh man, can that man pray. He's a good prayer. So we prayed for that person, for their heart, for what God wanted to do, for whatever was supposed to happen. I was recently somewhere else at an event at Mass, before Mass, and there was a clergy member outside, and it was somebody I hadn't seen for a while, and I said, how are you doing? And they said, well, actually, I'm kind of nervous. I've got kind of something special I'm doing, and I'm nervous. And I said, I just put my hand out on their hand, and I said, could I pray for you? And this person said, yes. I find that I write a lot of prayers. I'm not only a big communicator through this part of my body, but I'm also write a lot. Many of you have maybe gotten cards from me, an anniversary card or a birthday card or a thank you card. And so I often, at the bottom of those, will just say a prayer, just a simple prayer. It's a simple way of praying and showing your love and concern for others. Recently, at Father Gabriel Richard in the last year, I was at an event, and I could just sense some tension in a person I was talking with. And so I just kind of took them a little to the side, and I said, how are you doing? And they said, not so hot. And I said, do you want to talk about it? And they did. And I said, can I pray with you? And this person said, yes. So I just put my hand on theirs, and it was just a simple prayer, asking for God's mercy and grace, that they would know the love of God. Recently, my mother needed to move into an assisted living situation in North Dakota. And so I went on the airplane, and I was sitting down and next to a man, and I introduced myself, and we were visiting, and one thing led to another, and do you have a wife? Do you have a family? Just, you know, the normal little small talk. And he had a wife, but no children. And he said, we haven't been able to have children. So I just said, would you like me to pray with you? And he said, yes, we would like children. So there in the airplane, I just put my hand gently on his hand, and we just prayed for a child to be born into their home. One of my funnier stories was I was out driving into the Kroger parking lot, and I got out of my car, and I saw this woman, and she had her cart. You know how those carts are? She had one of those big cakes. She had just come out of the Kroger. She had one of those big cakes on there. And I said, oh, excuse me, can I help you? Like, maybe hold the cake or open your door or something for you. And she said, well, yeah, okay, yeah. And I said, oh, I said, I could see when she was kind of stressed. I said, oh, looks like a happy occasion, though. I looked at the cake, and it had like a, it was for a wedding, and I said, oh, somebody's getting married. This is fun, you know. And she said, well, I wish they would have told me sooner. I said, oh, yeah, it's only been 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, they told me they're getting married. And I said, would you like me to pray with you? And she said, I would love that. So they're out in the parking lot of Kroger's. We just said a little prayer for love. Yeah, I figured she maybe needed a little love for somebody there, right? A little grace, a little patience, and for a blessed wedding. I was a reluctant Facebook person, but now that I'm on there, I really like that, and I find there's many natural opportunities to pray on Facebook, because someone has a baby, and I say, oh, may God bless that beautiful child, or I like to put scriptures in there. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. You know, it's just a natural place, and no one has ever been nasty. You get little likes. Oh, yeah, people are happy that you're happy about their baby, or that they're getting a new job, or that they're moving to a new place, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, people are happy. It's a joyful thing. And it's an okay place to pray on Facebook. In one store that I shop, I'm not sure how this happened that I know, but she's going through menopause. And so every time she sees me, she always wants to give me a big hug. And so I pray right then. Just pray for her for getting through this time. And we've talked. And because I've gone through menopause, I'm able to talk with her. And in this same store, there's a woman there that's my age that our youngest child is 17. And she's a grandma of a 17-year-old who just had a baby. So we've had a lot of chances to talk and pray and just, again, little prayers, you know, just grab the little hand and just pray for God's mercy and help. A mom came to look at flowers in my flower garden for her daughter for next year. And this is part of an email I wanted to read that she sent to me later on. I shared with my daughter our prayer time on your comforting front porch. She had shared some difficult things, and so I had asked her again if she wanted to pray. Her request is that you lead us in prayer in the middle of the flowers that day next year when we come to pick the flowers. I too am on a path of spiritual reawakening, and I thank you for that prayer time. So, now does this always work? Do I always have these happy ending stories? Well, for the most part, but I do have one funny story. When a year and a half ago, my husband and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and our children in Europe paid for us to take a trip there and go visit them. That's nice, right? If they live over there, they pay for me to come see them. And we were on the train platform going to France, or in France, going to Austria. And there, I could look at the tickets, and I thought we were in the right place, but I thought, oh gosh, I think I'm going to ask somebody. So I asked this young woman, I said, excuse me, do you speak English? And she said, yes. And I said, are we in the right spot? She said, yes, you're in the right spot. I knew we had like a half an hour, 45 minutes, and I said, do you live here? And she said, yes. And I said, do you have a family? And she goes, again, it's a kind of a, the shoulders come down and there's a bit of a sigh and it's, well, I live with my parents. And I said, would you like to be married? She said, yes, I would like a husband. But she said, there are not a lot of good eligible men around here. And I said, could I pray? She nodded her head and I just put my hand on her and just prayed for a good righteous man that would love her and that she could love and care for. And we got all done and she said, are you a Christian? And I just thought, oh, Lord, help me. I'm in France. Half the people are Muslims. I said, yes, I am. Are you? And she said, no, I'm a Muslim. But she said, I appreciate the love, and I appreciate the care and the prayer. So, but that was kind of fun. My praying on a daily basis is similar to many of you, I am sure. But I also sing and pray a lot in the car, especially singing the psalm responses and scripture songs that I've learned. I was a Protestant growing up and grew up in Sunday school and Bible school singing, and then have been a Catholic for 37 years, a member of community Bible study in Ann Arbor for 17 years, and part of charismatic Christian communities for 42 years, singing in the music ministries for many of those years. I'm a very visual person and am prompted to pray regularly by my surroundings. When I drive by a local Alzheimer's facility that's near me, I pray for my neighbor who was there for a while, who was just my age. as well as her mom and dad, who are all with Jesus now. Then, I pray for every deceased person in my circle of family and friends. When I drive by the house of friends who are divorced, I pray for that couple and all the other couples I know that are divorced, their children and their grandchildren. I'm sure many of you also pray as I do when we hear the sirens blaring, not only for the health of the person lying in the back of the ambulance, but I also pray for the safety of the driver. I sing out the praises of God and pray while on the riding lawnmower. And of course, the middle of the night is such a wonderful time to pray. Even when I was up in the middle of the night with nursing babies, it was a very quiet and peaceful time to talk to Jesus. Now, with no small children, it's still a quiet time lying in bed to be able to talk to God, but I also sing songs of praise in my head as I go back to sleep. This last story will be the segue to the end of my talk. 1 month ago, here at Christ the King after Mass, a woman came up to me that I had not seen to talk to for 17 years and told me a beautiful story of a prayer session she and I had 17 years ago while we were both at Community Bible Study in Ann Arbor. At the beginning of these Bible studies, we had all gathered each week in the sanctuary, and someone always gave a short, uplifting sharing. That week, after the sharing, the speaker asked us to turn to the person on either side and ask if there was something they could pray for. This woman told me that she and her husband were thinking of a third child and wanted to do the right thing. She told me, this is a little funny and embarrassing, I said, why not? That was my response. And then we prayed. Well, she went home. This is what she told me last month. She went home, talked and prayed with her husband, and they conceived a son the next month who is now 16. Thanks be to God for his goodness. I said I'd like a picture with that kid. So I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable, but would like to offer the opportunity tonight for us to pray, either quietly by yourself in the pew, or if you'd like to pray, please ask the person next to you or behind or somewhere, and we can call out to God tonight, who we know loves us and cares for us and hears our every prayer, whether it's day, night, in the car, in the bed, in the pew, wherever we are, we know he's listening. Thank you.